It's a joy to share God's word with you, and it's been a joy to share God's word together during vacation Bible school. It's also a joy to have a waterfall up here where we normally have church, and just suddenly now we have a waterfall. It's been a joy to have a waterfall, and I want to mark some spots along the waterfall because I'm going to use that for us to kind of remember what was that experience like for Naaman. And how does that help us know what that experience is like for us who come to God? So here are some of the parts of our waterfall. They're not technical terms. That's the top of the waterfall. I'm sure there's a better technical term, but we're going to call it the top, okay? And then this part, I forgot my other one. The important one, it's called a waterfall. Right? So that's where the water's falling. And then it comes down to here, and it pools. There's a pool there where the water all pools up. And then you got to come down here, and you got to kind of imagine. You get down to that pool, and then if you were in that pool, then you just got to start to float. You just got to start to float and go with the river. I tried to look up what it would mean to, like, survive going over a waterfall. Mostly I found out, don't try it. But if you got over the top and you fell and you got out of the pool, then your best next thing to do would just be float, put your feet down, downriver, and just float. And then hopefully you're going to get to a spot that is calm, all right? And finally, if you get to a spot that's calm and you can get over, you can get out on the shore. So, top, fall, pool, float, calm, shore. And that's Naaman's story. See, Naaman, he was a high-ranking official. Did you see that in the story? I mean, he was commander of the king's army. He was a great man. He was in high favor. And he was part of a Syrian defeat of Israel. He is at the top. But then he has a fall. What's the problem? He's a leper. It's a disease, right, that starts to change your skin. And there are different kinds of leprosy. And maybe his was more like an inconvenience, an embarrassment to have this white skin that was turning all strange colors and stuff. Or maybe it was even more severe and was causing trouble. And that was his fall. He had this great favor, but now he's this leper. It doesn't look so good. And so then he has a second fall. He has to go to Israel. I mean, they just conquered Israel, but he finds out that his only hope to cure his leprosy is to go back to the place they just conquered. That's humiliating. And then he has a third fall. When he gets to Israel, he goes to the king of Israel, and the king says, I can't do anything for you. And now Naaman has to humble himself even more and go find this prophet guy someplace out there named Elisha. And then he gets to Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even come out of the house to see him. He's the commander of the Syrian army. We came in and took over you, and now this prophet won't even come out of his house to talk to me. He is falling and falling and falling. Finally, he goes to the Jordan River, even though he doesn't want to. His servants tell him to go, but he's thinking, why would I go wash in the Jordan River? We got better rivers back home. He has fallen and fallen and fallen, and he gets to the river, and he hits the pool, and he washes 7 times. And he's cured. He comes out, his flesh is restored like a little child. Notice that it wasn't just that he was healed and then had like scars or something. His flesh was new, like a little child. That's the pool. He survived the fall. He found the pool. He's in this healing place because of God's word. And so then he begins to float. And when you float, you are a servant of the river. You are just going to let the river take you. And Naaman, when he gets back to Elisha, he talks to the prophet like he's now a servant of Elisha and a servant of the true God. He is floating, and because he's floating, he can now hear the word of God, which means that he is now calm, and he can be a speaker of a simple truth. He says, there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and eventually that we will know as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is calm and speaks this truth and sees that God is the source of healing. And finally, he gets to the shore, so to speak. He has lived to tell this tale. And Elisha says, go in peace, Naaman. Naaman has lived to tell the tale, and he must have told that tale. He has become an evangelist. And sometimes we think evangelist, that seems like a scary term, or like that's a TV thing, like a televangelist or whatever. Evangelist just means someone who tells the good news. Naaman gets out, has had this whole experience, and he gets to go and tell everyone, you want to know this thing that happened to me? He's lived to tell the tale. He goes to tell the tale. Now that's how it works for Naaman. Top, fall, pool, float, calm, shore. We'll see how it works for us too. But seeing how this works for Naaman, you'd kind of imagine we'd then turn our focus to Elisha, the prophet. But that might mean missing seeing the person who is key. The key person in God's plan here. Who is the person who speaks a simple truth, who points to a hope that she has not forgotten, and it's that speaking that starts the whole thing. It's the young servant who's taken from Israel. She's the one who tells Naaman's wife, if only the king could go meet the prophet Elisha, then he'd be cured. That girl has already had this experience. She's already climbed out on the shore. She's already ready to be an evangelist for the true God. You see, she was at the top. I don't know what her life was like, but she was living in Israel. But then she had this fall. Syria comes and takes over and takes her away from her family, takes her to Syria, makes her to go to work. But she is landed in a pool. Somehow she is kept safe. She is servant to Naaman's wife, and she's safe enough that she is able to speak up and say, I think the king needs to go to see the prophet. And so she's floating. She's following the stream. She knows and trusts where God is taking her, and she remembers who she is in God, and she is calm. She is a speaker of simple truth, pointing to the true God and the true God as the source of healing. And so she lives to tell the tale on the shore. She's an evangelist. She's a good news teller. And we give thanks for that. You see, we also can have the same experience. We can start at the top, whatever your top looks like. Sometimes our top looks a little like Naaman. We feel pretty self-sufficient. We're pretty successful. We're taking care of ourselves. Or maybe the top just looks like we are really independent. Independent to a fault. Or maybe the top just looks like the fact that we just think a lot about ourselves and don't think so much about what's going on around us. Whatever that top is for you, we also know what it means to fall. We know what it means when our sin catches up with us, the mistakes, the bad choices we make, they all catch up with us. Or we also know when life just feels like it's gotten shipwrecked. We either contribute to the mess sometimes, or there's just factors in the world that lead it to falling apart. But there's a pool. We can land in Jesus and find life and hope in Jesus. We can land in our baptism where we're washed and cleansed and healed and forgiven. And when you see that, then you can float. You can live in your baptism and live to be a servant of God, seeing where he is taking you, remembering who you are in Jesus. And when you do, you are calm. And you can be a speaker of simple truth, remembering Jesus, our hope in Him, our source of healing in Him. And we get to the shore, we have lived to tell the tale, worship ends, we say, go in peace. And we get to be evangelists, good news tellers. And the good news you get to tell is your story, how you went from top to fall, to pool, to float, to calm, to shore. But here's one more thing I want you to know about that. Do you know what the water cycle is? Right? So the waterfall, and it comes down the river, and it's pooling up here, and eventually it evaporates, right? Goes up to the clouds, and then what happens? It rains, and then it comes down the waterfall. Well, that's how our lives are like, too. They're water cycles. It's not like you went down one waterfall, you got through it, and now life is going to be great from here on out. Life is going to be full of messes and full of times when you're feeling like you're falling. But every time we can land in Jesus, every time you can live in your baptism and live as children of God and know that your hope and your life are in Him, every time you can float and be calm with that simple truth that He loves you and forgives you and gives you this hope. And then you get to come out on the shore and say, I have lived to tell this tale. It might not even be that big of a tale. It might not even be, you know, this most outstanding tale. But it might still have these pieces. And it might be a tale that someone else needs to hear, to know that you saw yourself at the top somehow. And you knew a fall. But you landed in Jesus in that pool of healing water. You float in Him. You are calm in Him, and you live to tell this tale, this good news. I hope that's what we've experienced at Vacation Bible School, and it is what we want to do here at Bethel, is to keep experiencing this together, the water cycle together, and every time reminding us that we land in Jesus. And He brings us healing. He brings us through this every time. And when you start to realize that you're headed for this again, we pray for one another and say, we trust that God has got you. We trust that He is not going to let you go. And even though it seems scary, God loves you very much. You're His. So float, calm, get out to shore. You've lived to tell the tale. Go be a good news teller. Amen.